So welcome back to the Screwtape Letters podcast, Confronting Evil in Our Time. We are again joined by our esteemed guest, William O'Flaherty, to talk about C.S. Lewis, his writings, and of course, the Screwtape Letters. I'm Ian Faith.
And I'm Galen Belinsky.
And we are joined by William.
Oh, thank you for having me back, guys.
That first interview was fantastic. Getting to know you more and getting to know the depth of your work and your love for C.S. Lewis is really fantastic. And in the links, there is ways to get in touch with William, his podcasts, and also connect with him online as well. But William, let's jump straight in. So today we're going to talk about the writing of the Screwtape Letters. Maybe first we frame it with just a little bit of information of, and you told us a little bit in the last interview, but how many books did C.S. Lewis write?
Right. Yeah. Great question. Yeah. Before he died, he wrote 38 titles. And I say titles because three of them were combined before Mere Christianity came out. There was the actually four broadcasts that came out in three different books, but not to get overly focused on that. But he actually worked on three additional. There were three titles that weren't quite yet released before he died. And then actually, since then, because of various collections or some unpublished works, I was going through the list. 35 titles have come out since he died. And the last not all new material, but essentially the most new material was in 2013, a book entitled Image and Imagination.
Wow. After his death, that's amazing. Because you, mm-hmm. you see it with all these bands like the Beatles, and they find songs that were maybe their demo of it, or they had a scratch idea for it, and all of a sudden they're putting that together. It'll be interesting to see if in the future AI takes maybe some of his notes and creates another writings of C.S. Lewis. But on the Screwtape Letters, mm-hmm. people are always fascinated. They love the picture of where things are written and where things are conceived. So, you know, where in England or can you paint a picture of where C.S. Lewis wrote the Screwtape Letters?
Right. Yeah. Well, it's there's no good flowery story, so to speak. It might maybe somewhat boring, but there's not many places that Lewis actually wrote any of his material because of the way he wrote. My good friend, Dr. Charlie Starr, he was reminded me that he had a dip pen and an inkwell, and that's how he wrote. And so that's not a very portable way to write. You know, that today there's so many different ways we can, you know, take notes, we can dictate it and such. But yeah, so only his desk at home, and as well as at when he was living in Oxford, which was the majority of his adult life. And so he wrote it there. And now I've been not in his office at Oxford where he taught, but I've been outside there. And so he could, you know, take a break, look around, and there's a nice, great scenery. I have been to his house and I've been to the room there. And so it's a nice area, but nothing grand about it per se to get inspired while he's writing. But so, yeah, for the Screwtape Letters, there's not too much of a picture to paint.
So I grew up in England in a place called Coventry, which is probably about 60 miles from Oxford. And in between Coventry and Oxford is a beautiful place called the Cotswolds. And I mean, if you have these very fantastical and romantic dreams of what England looks like, the Cotswolds are it. The doorways are like, you know, this tall, 5 feet when people were shorter. The houses, some of them are all crooked and they date back 400, 500, 600 years. And it's the most incredible part of the world. Still a lot of it's been maintained. They stop people building cities. And to me, I got to have a sense that he's so close. And Oxford back in the day would have been a lot more a smaller city. A lot of English cities were built around a castle and then concentric circles building out, which most English, you know, cities are built like that. And Oxford University is amazing. So, yeah, you know, I can only imagine with the buildings and everything there, it would have been pretty amazing. You mentioned that he obviously didn't travel much because of the inkwell and the pen and ink version. Did he write all of his books that style? Or was that just the Screwtape Letters?
Right. No. Yeah. That's how he did. Now, maybe the last, decade of his life, he might have had some more options. He did have a manuscript like typed up and things of that nature. But for the, initial draft, final draft before any kind of, publishing or, typesetting, my understanding is that it was all through that method.
Now, I imagine, as we've gone through the letters, that when you hear about some of the different stories, that he maybe did travel while writing these, because they seem to come from a different perspective. And during World War II, a lot of people in the bigger cities were moved out to the countryside. You know, the Blind Witch of the Wardrobe's, classic tale of that, where the kids are moved out for their protection. Is there any sort of background on Lewis actually moving around during the writing of the Screwtape Letters?
Not actually. There's an excellent work that's free online by Joel Heck. His last name is spelled Heck, H-E-C-K, Joel, J-O-E-L. And he has a material called Chronologically Lewis. He's published several books that people can buy, but the website does have this document that's very long. It goes into a lot of detail. And one of the things he does in this document is, for the beginning of the month at least, he states where Lewis was. And then as you read through, you can see whether he's done any traveling. And so the most travel he did would have been after this, when he went to Mere Christianity talks, or what became known as Mere Christianity. But during the time when he, wrote it, which I guess that time frame, he was basically either at home or at work and, socializing some other parts there, but he wouldn't have been doing any writing.
Right. Okay. And we've got to also take into consideration travel back in the day. It's not like everyone had an automobile. People didn't travel very far back in the 30s and the 40s. Like, I know people who even grew up in my area of England who pretty much stayed within their county their entire life and never left it. So before that, they're probably even more restricted from traveling. Galen, question for you and a comment. Like, when you and I talked about this and we talked about the Screwtape Letters and that it isn't scripture, but there seems to be something inspired about it. For you, Galen, what do you think, inspired wise? Because it's pretty amazing how C.S. Lewis has this way of bringing you into Jesus through these letters.
Yeah, he definitely seemed to have some really, really remarkable insight overall in his writings. I think that's pretty obvious. Reading Screwtape Letters especially, it's like this guy can peer into the unseen realm and just see it the way it really is. He can see and describe, the dynamics, the dynamic behind the dynamic, the scene behind the scenes, so to speak. So it almost does seem, we always put scripture is inspired, the Holy Spirit authored it, and we always put scripture in its own category, but this is something that seems he must have had some type of, you ask yourself as you're reading it, did he get any, did the Lord show him anything in dreams or visions? What inspired him? What guided his insight as he was able to kind of not only get this perspective, but communicate it in such a creative way? So, William, did he speak to what his inspiration was, what informed his thinking? Because he really seems to have, a really incredible insight on how the unseen realm operates.
Right. Yeah. Well, the thought of this way of presenting the material as he did, it came to him actually during a church service. How one's mind can wander anywhere. But he got the notion, and someone else has since wrote a book with this title, As One Devil to Another. That was the initial title Lewis was going to use. In fact, he, really? I think, does refer to that. He definitely does refer to that, whether it's in the letter. He wrote a letter to his brother on July 20th, 1940. But the church service, from as best we can tell, happened the week before, And so, I mean, and then during that time, it's interesting. I was cross-referencing or looking up Joel Heck's material, what he has listed. Sometimes he'll list, you know, some things happening around, like the Nazi bombers blitzing on London, which Lewis wasn't in London, but he would have heard about it. Was in September of that year. And so just a few months before he gets this idea, according to Walter Hooper, he probably finished all the letters by December of 1940. They first came out in 1941 weekly, and it's in a publication called The Guardian, before it then came out in the UK first in 1942, and then in the US edition came out in 1943. But in terms of like it being so inspired, I don't recall where I got the source from, whether it was some of the biographers pulling it out or if it's in the letters, noting that Lewis was so much aware of his own fallen nature and aware of how the enemy had tried to mess with his mind as well as other people's lives. And so he, you know, got inspiration, you know, from that. And, you know, there's some, you know, biographical elements for himself or people within his life. And so as he kind of teased that out and, you know, crystallize it into a letter as to, you know, what a demon might be saying to another person, another demon to help them to, you know, mess with the mind there. So, you know, that's
so he was just pretty spiritually astute and discerning in terms of how he was being tempted. Really, it was probably
that's what
I'm thinking. His faith walk, just really, you know, his brilliant mind describing, you know, what he's experiencing as a Christian throughout his life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely. So, William, tell us a little bit about the church. You mentioned it came to him in church. So where did he attend church? Do you know the denomination? Do you have any sort of
Lewis was an Anglican. He went to Holy Trinity Church in Headington, Oxford, which again is a Anglican church. I've been to, I've probably only been to one church service, but I've been in the church building a few other times. And his brother and himself is buried in the graveyard outside of that village church.
Mm.
Yeah, wow. Okay, yeah, because there were talks that he one point was looking at being a Lutheran or was a Lutheran and then became an Anglican. I've read some different
things. No, he was never Lutheran, but I don't remember his on his family side. But, I mean, he did, you know, enjoy the Church Fathers, and he would have, Anglican is the Church of England.
I look at this, and I'm so excited that Galen and I are doing this podcast. I feel they're inspired. I've actually even had people who have heard the podcast and have said, you know what? You guys woke me up to the attacks in my life that I never even for a moment thought about until you guys mentioned it through this, you know, dissecting of the letters and talking about confronting evil in our time. And that's something that's, I think, is really, really powerful, because it's even for me, I've gone into my life and said, yeah, what are those things that are attacking me? What are the strongholds I have in my world? What are the things that I don't pursue, but all of a sudden they feel like they're pursuing me? For you, William, do you feel that in your life?
Right. Yeah. I mean, definitely the spiritual warfare aspect is definitely something that I'm, you know, very much aware of. There are times to where, in terms of like the way the Screwtape Letters presents it, I may not be always kind of like on my guard or aware. And of course, I'm reminded that, you know, Lewis talked about there are two ways of, and I'm paraphrasing, because I am known for, you know, calling out people for misquoting Lewis, which can be a topic of another discussion here. But where Lewis was noting, you can be, you know, overly obsessed with, you know, a devil around every corner, or just totally disregard him. And so I try to have that healthy balance, and Lewis has really helped me with that.
Yeah.
Mm.
Any final thoughts or words from you as we delve a little deeper into the writings of C.S. Lewis?
Yeah, William, I think we kind of mentioned this in our previous interview, but I feel like the Screwtape Letters is such a powerful body of work that really does, like Ian said, I think it has the ability to really wake people up and make them think differently and become more aware of what's happening in their own lives. And I have a big kind of passion and burden for seeing things like this that a lot of people in society and in culture aren't aware of, kind of bring it to light. So I guess what would be a word for some of the listeners who are of the younger generation, the potential impact that it can have in their life and just the encouragement in their walk with faith. What would you say to that? And then specifically, I don't think I asked you this before. How old were you when you read the Screwtape Letters? Because you had said you first found C.S. Lewis with Narnia. How long did it take you before you got to the Screwtape Letters, and what impact did that have in your life?
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, to answer the later questions here, and you may have to remind me of the first one you pitched.
Sure.
But yeah, so yeah, I, before I was, before I went off to college, which was at the age of 18, I had read the Screwtape Letters. And so, that definitely had a great impact. And it did, you know, it was one of those things to where, as I may have said, just that it, I could read it and find humor in it, but it's like, oh, you know, and then my guards dropped, and then I can understand, like, oh, this is how Satan is trying to, you know, impact me possibly. And so, and, you know, I can read and reread it and still benefit from it because of the great impact. And so I think in the spirit of an answer in the spirit of the other question in terms of for the younger generation is to, you know, pick it up just to enjoy it. And then, you know, you don't have to try to get a deeper meaning out of it, but I think they will because Lewis is such a gifted writer.
Sure. So to wrap us, William, thank you so much for joining us. Just again, tell people how they can find you, and hopefully we'll have you back again.
Okay. Yeah. So everything is centralized through my website, EssentialCSLewis.com. And there you can find out a bunch of different things on YouTube. If you either Google that or Knowing and Understanding C.S. Lewis, I don't know if I mentioned that before, but that is the name of it there. A lot of different things, interviews, and some original material as well.
Well, thanks so much for joining us. And yeah, we'll see everyone next time. Welcome to our podcast, The Screwtape Letters, Confronting Evil in Our Time. Subscribe and join us and our guests on this journey, The Screwtape Letters.